Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Now, Justin, so you're the Green spokesperson for Gambling Harm, and this move does seek to reduce the impact of gaming machines on people's lives. Why is it not good enough in your view?
Well, Nathaniel, it's really business as usual, and what we see is that the vested interests from the big pokies industry are pretty happy with the government's stance, and that's because it doesn't reduce the number of machines in New South Wales. It's important for your listeners to know that 1 in 10 machines worldwide are here in New South Wales. Over 90,000, we lose more money per person per year than any other state in Australia. The only way to actually curb that pokey problem we've got here is to dramatically cut the number of machines and to reduce the sorts of technologies the machine uses, such as reducing maximum bets to $1 and some of the features that they call disguising a loss as a win. Those things will make a big difference in terms of reducing harm. A cap on machines actually just locks in the current problem that we've got.
Right, and how have areas such as Fairfield grown to become gambling hotspots, with the city of Fairfield having more poker machines than the entirety of Tasmania?
Yeah, that's right. There's over 3,000 machines in Fairfield. And Fairfield, the Bankstown area, they are absolute hotspots in terms of the number of machines and the amount lost per year per person. But also regional areas like the Tweed Heads, Ulladulla and Nowra on the south coast and parts of western New South Wales have been identified as hotspots. And that's because the current system has allowed the clubs and pubs in those areas to bring in more and more machines. And certainly saying enough's enough is an important step, but it won't do anything to reduce harm. It'll probably slow down the increase in harm that we've seen year on year in New South Wales. But what the public have been calling for is a dramatic cut in machines. And what we've got now is probably a really good example of how the government's relationship with the gambling industry is stalling progress when it comes to policy reform in this area, instead of actually listening to the community and responding to what they're calling for.
So why exactly do you think these are the main reasons why the New South Wales government has not gone further with these measures?
Oh, absolutely. This government has a signed memorandum of understanding with Clubs New South Wales, with the peak body that looks after the gambling clubs in New South Wales. And that MOU basically guarantees the government will do nothing to impact on poker machine profits and taxation and features. And this legislation, in effect, enacts that agreement that they have with the clubs industry. Now, that's a disgrace. The government should have an agreement with the people of New South Wales, not with the gambling industry. It's the interests of people that they should be looking after. And we lose about $8 billion a year in New South Wales on poker machines. $8 billion, it's huge sums. It manifests in terms of housing insecurity and homelessness, relationship breakdown, domestic violence, and even suicide. They are the things that are experienced in our community as a direct result of gambling harm.
Right. Now, if you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking with Greens MLC and spokesperson for Gambling Harm, Justin Field, about the new government's regulation seeking to curb the impact of gaming machines in problem areas in New South Wales. Now, Justin, if we look at situations like prohibition and the general idea of taking the tools of harmful activity away in order to potentially make this problem go away, what kind of effect do you think this freezing and removal of poker machines will have on residents of gambling hotspots in Australia?
Well, it's a big challenge in New South Wales, I'll be honest. We've got 93,000 machines. They are fundamentally embedded in the business models of the pubs and clubs in New South Wales. Now, those business models are broken, if you ask me. They're broken because they're built on causing immense social harm in our communities. But we don't fix that by just closing our eyes and saying, well, we'll just keep it as it is and pretend that it'll go away. We actually have to make the hard decisions, start the process of reducing machines far more radically than it's happened in the past, But each of those individual machines can also be limited in terms of the harm that they cause. At the moment, you can put thousands of dollars at a time into a machine. You can lose over $1,000 an hour on the machine. If we were to restrict the maximum bet for each spin to $1, if we were to make it much harder for people to access cash, particularly people who didn't want to be in there playing, if we were to change some of the features on the machines that have been described as misleading, the particularly addictive features that make it seem like you've won when in fact you've lost, those sorts of things would go much further to reducing gambling harm. And so I think the government has really erred in terms of making it all about machine numbers and a cap. The real areas of harm are about how the machines are used. But that doesn't take away from an agreement that we all need to find in the community, with the industry, and with government and the opposition, that we need a plan to start to reduce those machines. And I think we probably need to legislate it. We can't have it succumb to side agreements between governments and the industry. That needs to be something that we do through Parliament and locks in a reform over time to start to reduce the reliance of both the industry and the government on poker machine income.
Right. And now, do you feel like the New South Wales government is serious about lowering number of poker machines in our community?
No, they're not. They've got a program that has seen a very small reduction over a number of years. When machines are transferred, a small portion of them are surrendered. The entitlements to use them are surrendered. Now, that has seen a small reduction. We were up near 100,000 a decade ago. We've seen that fall slightly. But what we've seen over the same time is the effectiveness of the machines to rip money out of the communities has increased. So the total profits to the industry, the losses to the community, have been increasing at the same time the machines have slowly been falling. Now, we either dramatically accelerate that reduction in machines, and we need to do that, but we also need to get rid of those features that suck money out of the pockets of people, and often those people who can least afford it.
Right, well, hopefully something can be done soon. Justin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Nathaniel.